You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Emily Malice.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey, ladies.
Hi. It's so nice of you to join us, my lovely. Please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So, my name's Emily Malice. My real name's Emily Alice Johnston, but I shorten it because it just sounded a lot sort of more sexy and dangerous for
you.
Yeah,
it really does. Malice. Yeah. I like it.
I'm primarily a tattooist in London at Femme Fatale with my girls. And I also have started making clothing with my best friend and my soulmate, Stephanie Bolam.
Nice.
And I just really like... I like sex, yeah.
that is good. I've seen some raunchy photos on your Instagram, I must say.
I do love to strike a pose. I'm very... I love attention.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Do you model, like, a lot of latex designs,
yeah,
right? And stuff for Torture Garden?
Well, yeah. Well, when I was 18, I just moved out of my family home and I had no money. I was stealing food because I was quite lazy, didn't want to work. I think I was a sandwich artist at Subway Sandwiches. I was like,
no.
Sick artist, I'm an artist. I like sandwiches, not the same thing.
I didn't even know, is that what they call sandwich makers?
Stop it.
A sandwich artist.
Yeah, and I was just like, this blows. I'd just be like, you know, this 5-finger discount on some, like, whatever I wanted to eat. And then I was like, can't live like this, bad karma. So like, I thought, well, I really like being naked and I love attention. I'm gonna try and I really love this magazine called Bizarre Magazine.
Oh,
I'd read,
yes,
that. I used to steal that too when I was 14, so I wasn't allowed to buy it.
You have to be over a certain age. I remember begging my stepdad to buy it for me. Such a weird scenario.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah, I just remember seeing one with this girl called Victoria Modesta on it, and she just looked stunning. I was like, I want to be that. I want to embody that power, that sort of energy, and just, yeah, I want a bit of that. So
yeah.
I first modelled for a magazine called Front Magazine.
Yeah.
And I just managed to get on the cover straight away. Like,
wow, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, it's pretty cool. I was like, nice. And then from that, I then got into Bizarre Magazine because they then messaged my agency.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we want you to be on the cover. And that's when, like, I went to London. I remember, like, being like, oh my God, I'm in London.
You were on the cover of Bizarre Magazine?
Twice.
Oh, my God. Wow. Then,
for those of you who don't know, Bizarre Magazine and Front Magazine, they're kind of like the alternative lads mags.
Yeah,
like the old girl, like the glamour mags, but they're always like sexy and dark and full of latex and weird stuff.
Perfect. And that's where I met my friend Florence. She was the latex designer. And we just fell in love instantly. And from then on, like... At the time, I was with a boyfriend who then decided he didn't like me glamour modelling, so I stopped.
Ugh, no.
And I learned never to do that again because he cheated on me.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. So like, I was like, never put a man before my dreams ever again.
No, definitely not.
And either way, like, I met Florence, and then years later, I'd always kept in touch with her. And then when I finally moved down to London to tattoo, I remember going to my first Torture Garden. And she lent me an outfit because I was broke. I was like living off broccoli soup. And I could not afford those outfits because, I mean, like, the reasonably priced, I think. Like,
the effort
she puts in is
expensive.
Like, this, that is couture.
Yeah.
Beautiful, like, elegant garms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just remember going there and just feeling so liberated, like being with all these people that were like, they had actual looks put together. It wasn't, and like people respected boundaries. They're like, it's just people dressed up, just doing their thing, like just meeting new people. And I met a lot of my friends that I have now there, like just artists and for me, like pioneers of like, yeah, like fashion and and people that have something to say with their work. Yeah,
I'm yet to go to Torture Garden. Reed's gone a lot, but I really want to try it out.
It has changed a lot since, because it's very like saturated. There are so many people that go there. As much as Torture Garden is a really good first fetish club experience, because you don't have to go there guns blazing and thinking you're going to fuck someone, and you can just go there to look. It's still worth checking out, but it's very different to, I imagine, when you went.
Well, guys, you should come with me to Verboten. Verboten's like the younger, more better.
Oh,
hey. Yeah, it's like it's like. Have you been to Berghain?
Tried to get in. Yeah,
it's like Berghain, but like that kind of vibe. And they've got loads of art performances. My friend Michele, he does Body of Reverbs, which is like a tattoo kind of performance. It's just really cool. It's really like progressive and like it's just really fun.
That's incredible. Where is that? Is that London?
Yeah, they have secret locations each time, and you have to kind of like pass the test to go. But you're allowed to bring one friend each time. So. Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Well, next on your guest list then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, what do you think about the stigma that surrounds the number, the amount of people that use that with?
Yeah, this is something that does bother me, because, you know, like, I don't think it matters how many people you've had sex with. Like, it's like some people just really love sex, some people don't. Some people have a really low sex drive and they're content with that one dick or one vagina their whole life. So that's cool, that's them. But you know, like I think there shouldn't be a stigma. There's this whole thing in our society where men want that virgin whore. They want the girl that's wicked in bed, but they've only slept with her, darling.
Yeah. The virgin whore is such a perfect.
It's so tiring. You know, like all these rappers singing about all these, like, got all these hoes and stuff, but then they want that mousy little girl at home that's, you know, doesn't speak and, like, you know, over it. But yeah, it's just, I think men get threatened by, and maybe like women as well, like partners, like they get threatened and insecure than think that, you know, they've had more than me, and it's just twisted and fucked.
I think it does work both ways sometimes, because even when I've like discovered partners like counts in the past, there is like this little weird like bubble of jealousy that like just like appears, and it's like, but why do I care? Like it was just in the past and it doesn't matter now, but there's like that one part of you that's always going to be like, but like, what, who were all these other women? Or like, who were all these other people?
You could flip it on them. Your head.
Yeah.
You could flip it on your head, because we could easily say, oh, you know, we should be allowed to do exactly what we want when we want, and our partner should be there to support you, which of course is true. If your partner, your partner should support you no matter what you want to do. You know, you can talk about things and that you're uncomfortable, but if it's your passion, if it's your dream. But then you have to think about, you know, if your partner, say for example your boyfriend, suddenly started putting up nude photos on Twitter or Instagram, like, how would you feel about that? I mean, I would, again, we would find it hot, because we're not threatened by that kind of behavior, but there are so many people out there that would be really uncomfortable for them.
I think in relationships it all comes down to trust and respect and just talking to each other and knowing the boundaries with each other.
Fuck number one,
the last fuck.
Well, it was wonderful.
Good, glad to hear.
So, I hadn't seen him in a while, because I've been in Texas. And we'd been texting and, you know, sending nudes to keep each other entertained. And then he was like, you're not allowed to masturbate for 4 days until you see me. And I was like, I love being told what to do. I'm such a sub.
So hot.
And he was like, if you do that, you'll be rewarded. Ooh. So, and then he told me exactly what he wanted me to wear, because like sort of see my special wardrobe, and then I went round and he turned his whole very beautiful apartment into like a sex dungeon.
No, yeah, like that's so cool.
Yeah, like just everything had Yeah. I was impressed.
The amount of effort.
I know.
Yeah, bless him.
And he'd even lit candles. Oh. It was so cute. Yeah.
That's so amazing.
And I kind of walked in like, all right, yeah.
This was your feeling last this. Fuck. That's yeah. amazing. That yeah. sounds like the best fuck.
Yeah, and then like just completely seduced me and like went down on me for half an hour. It was, yeah. I was like, this is a good day.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's just really nice when you find someone you have really good chemistry and mm-hmm. like they seem to know what like he's very good at reading me, and I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the best thing when someone's just so good at reading the body language.
Yeah.
Because some people just don't get it.
It's just being like taking the time to listen and watch and mm-hmm. and learn and see what kind of movements. This it could be the tiniest little movement, but that could mean so much to somebody. That could be a complete mood change.
Yeah.
Or the meaning between you're gonna come or not come.
Yeah. I think you need to be watching your partner constantly and like picking up on all these different things. That you need to be watching like their breath, like how flushed they get, if they're like rigid or like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because if you have those things, you've got so much power in your hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can just have fun. Like it's just because I wasn't expecting it from him, like when we first started dating and I asked him like, oh, what do you like? He's like, you have to find out.
Oh, like, shit. Like,
all right.
Throwing it back.
Not making it easy for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd feel like if someone said that.
I liked it. I love a challenge. I'm very competitive as well. Ooh. So then I was just like, right.
Yes.
But then we had lots of fun. I won't divulge too much, but yeah, I definitely was rewarded.
Good, and, good. That's what we like to hear.
It's super sweet. Yeah, it's just all about being rough but being soft as well. I find a lot of guys who just kind of smash you like the fucking jackrabbit. And it's like, no, porn has ruined men. Uh-huh. They watch these things like this, and there's another thing that I despise, this dick slapping.
Oh my god.
And like, it'd be like on the pelvic bone as well. I'm not sure. I think in porn they're meant to be hitting the clitoris, but guys are just like, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like,
you know, doesn't feel any sensation there. You can't feel anything.
I thought I'm gonna be cruel but kind to this dude. And he's like, I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you know, dick slapping.
You know?
And I never saw him again.
No.
Turns you on, right? Fuck two.
The first fuck.
Well, it was with my first proper boyfriend. I was 14, he was 18.
Ooh.
So technically he was a paedophile.
That's 4 years
and
difference.
He was like kind of like my drug dealer as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so like I this was when I used to smoke weed, and I just like smoked a big old spliff. And then it was actually at my friend's house, and like my best friend at the time, we were like, should we lose our virginities today? And we're like, yeah.
Oh my god.
And her boyfriend was older than mine. And it was in her house. And then, like, she was upstairs and I was downstairs. And we were just, like, all stoned. And then then we had sex. And I remember it just really hurt. And
really?
I was like, this is rubbish. I've been waiting all this time for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, virginity's gone now. Now I'm like, you know, I felt like I was like, the weight had lifted.
It does feel like that, I think.
Yeah. But like we used to have quite good sex together, but then again we had different aspirations in life. I think we were just in different places. Like he really loved drugs, and I really wanted to move to London and become an artist and a tattooist and change the world and like just go everywhere and have no limits, no walls. Like just be free. And he was very happy in the town of Melton Mowbray, which apparently has the lowest quality of life. Apparently,
like, oh my god! Life.
Yeah, it is
in the UK.
Apparently, this is what my dad said. I was like, "Well, why the fuck did you let us rot there for 6 years?" So for me, not for me, but like, it is a beautiful place to eat pork pies and Stilton cheese. And some people like those. Like, some people would hate my life and find it really stressful.
Yeah.
But for me, like living there was, it drove me insane.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I feel like it must be quite hard growing up in a small town, especially when it comes to things like sex.
Yeah.
Because
there's only
a small pool of people there.
Very small pool.
Yeah.
And a lot of people at school actually, I won't name names, but a lot of people were dating their cousins.
Yeah,
like the classic. And there's like three big families in the town, and with 12 kids. And they blended.
That's insane.
Synergy.
I mean, did you sort of sleep with a lot of people?
I didn't date
over
with
there?
Any of them. No, actually, I did not sleep with that many people there because I just wanted to get the fuck out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I just couldn't stand being there. I wanted to, yeah. I just felt trapped. And as soon as I could, I got out.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you're a kid, you're limited with what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you found your first time quite painful, but you still carried on sleeping with that guy. Did it get better after the first time?
After a while. I think we didn't have sex for 3 months after that.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't that interested, to be honest. I just, like, once I'd done it, I was like, yeah. I much preferred getting head. I was cool with that. And like,
that's fun.
Yeah, I was like, let's just stick with this for a while.
Fuck 3.
The best fuck.
Okay, so.
It's a hard one.
There was a time, I don't want to name names because further protection. I asked a few people today if they minded me saying things, and one person didn't mind. But yeah, so let's just say I had a very beautiful night with my best friend Steph and someone else.
Ooh.
And like, yeah.
Way handsome.
Yeah, we like, she's like my complete soulmate, and like we just understand each other's bodies. And so we like had the most intense threesome with someone else.
Mystery X.
Yeah, like it's just perfect. Like we both dressed up and yeah, it's just, well, you know, like, because threesomes are hard. Like,
so
someone,
hard.
Like, if you don't have that right rhythm, or, like, it can, yeah. It can
was
get
it
a
your
bit
first
sour.
Threesome, or?
I'd say it was my first proper threesome, because the one before didn't count, because I was on the bed with someone, and then it started, and I was like, fuck this.
Kind of exiting.
Yeah, I was just like, actually, you know what? I don't want to do this. And then I walked off.
What gender is the right was the third person?
A boy.
Ah.
Yeah. A man.
A man. So was it good or was it...
It was amazing. Oh, you mean the
best part.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was just like all three of us were super hot, super sexy. Like just everyone had a good time.
Nice.
Yeah, everyone came to the party.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Good.
Yeah.
Reed, you always say that it's quite hard to come in a threesome.
So hard, because it's hard to come with one other person if you're not, you know, relaxed, if you're not
comfortable. Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Like, I find it, that's when you truly love someone, that's when I can just come all the time. Or if I'm relaxed with someone and, like, I just feel, I trust them, I can just, you know, it just flows out freely. Yeah. But yeah, like, because me and Steph are best friends, it's just like...
Had you done stuff together in the past? Or was this like the first time you were sexual with each other?
That smirk. We're scoundrels. Yeah, there's been moments before. But like, yeah, we're just... Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, you know when you just find someone who's the other half to you?
Yeah.
And like, we were so like, it just always, it felt so natural all the time. Yeah, so it was on her boat.
Oh, no.
So when you say boat, it's not Rose and Jim's boat. This is the fucking Titanic.
What?
Without the sinking bit. it was wonderful. Like, we all like had outfits on and like...
What sort of outfits? Latex?
Me and Steph planned matching lingerie.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I guess the best way to start any threesome is... You start sucking the guy's dick because they're always the most nervous, aren't they?
Darlings. I mean, two amazingly beautiful women.
Two sirens.
One
guy.
Yeah.
Two succubus.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous I don't have a cock to be able to see two hot chicks sucking my dick. I imagine that's probably the most incredibly sexy sight.
Yeah. Be wicked.
Like both at the same time. One on the balls, one on the head. Oh my God.
And plus, you know, like, because we were the friends, I'm sure, you know, we wanted to make people feel comfortable. Yeah. So, yeah, there was.
Did you know him prior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then just, I think that was the first. No, because I'd slept with women before. Mm. And
I don't know how, but I'm surprisingly a natural at it. I remember the first time I made a girl squirt, and I was like, oh. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I guess that's cool to have on the CV.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
So I was thinking about this a lot today, and there's like a funny worst and then there's like dark worst, and I want to say both because I think it's important. Okay. I'm going to start with the bad time because then we can
lighten it up at the end.
Yeah, so like something happened to me which at the time like it was, this was years ago now, but I was with a partner and he'd come in at like 7 in the morning drunk. Oh, and and I was, I'd work in the morning, like, and I was fucking asleep. And then, like, they started trying to have sex with me. And then I was just like, no, please don't. I'm asleep. And then he kept trying again and again and again. And then in the end, I just let it happen. I was just weeping to myself silently. I felt like such a piece of shit. I was just like, so low. Mm-hmm. Because if it's your boyfriend, you think, oh, well, this is kind of okay. And it really fucking isn't okay.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
Never. If you don't want it, you do not have to do anything you don't want to do. And then when I talked to him about it, he got fuming, ballistic. He's like, what? Are you accusing me of rape? I didn't rape you, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Oh, God.
And then, and then I just never spoke about it again. And I can't remember where I heard it. I think there's a girl I listen to called Julia Allen. I think she's in Australia. Mm-hmm. And she brought it up. And then it all came back to me. And I got proper, PDST.
No.
Is that right? PDST? Those four letters. But, yeah, and then I was just like, fuck. And it's just, like, just the whole, like, just disrespectful to do that to someone you're meant to love. And it just made me feel really low. And he cheated on me as well. What motherfucker. Yeah, with
And his reaction is so uncalled for. Like if anyone comes to you and says something like that, you need to really take a step back. Don't get defensive and just take and listen what they say.
And everyone makes mistakes. And if you would have said, oh, I'm so sorry, I would have been like, it's fine. You know, like
I fucked up. I was drunk. I didn't realize anything.
Yeah, like we all make mistakes. And I don't like to hold bad energy like that. I'd like to think that I'd like to always see the good in people, but I remember that really fucked me up. That did, yeah. So that was the worst time.
That sort of takes us back to the conversation about body language, because it's like, can you not read someone's body language when you're like
pulling your leg away? Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Because to be honest, the same thing happened to me, not with a boyfriend, but with someone that I had repeatedly told that I didn't want to sleep with. I was like, you're just my friend, like, I'm just not interested in that way. One night we got super super drunk, he was buying me drinks all night. Ended up waking up, so I was like blackout drunk, woke up in my bed, he was there at my parents' house and everything.
Oh god.
He was also a lot older than me. Woke up and he just started fucking me, and I was just like,
oh my god!
At the time, yeah, you're so shocked. Say anything?
Yeah, you're kind of like, oh my god! Like, and to resist, it's like you're making a fuss, and then it's like, yeah, you're just so shocked at the time.
Yeah. You also don't want to make the situation more awkward than it already is. So you're too terrified. Yeah, to say
and I told him afterwards, like the day after, maybe like a little bit later in the day, that I felt that he had raped me, and he said exactly the same thing. He was just like, how dare you accuse me of that? That is not how it was at all. You wanted it.
And like, it's like gaslighting. It makes you feel guilty and responsible for even bringing it up.
And I've never spoke about it till recently because I just blocked it out.
You do, don't you? Because you're just like, oh well, you know, they were their boyfriend, so
how do you feel now you've sort of been able to talk about it and open up about
it? I didn't want to because there's always the fear of like, because then once you let that out, there's sort of every action has a reaction, so those ripples will I doubt get to him, but if it did, like then then they'll be like, oh, what have you said about me, blah blah blah. But you know what, if he is listening, then you know you fucking did it. So fuck you.
You've got to tell your truth as well, and don't let anyone otherwise.
Yeah, I've been so scared to talk about things as well, because like just the reaction it'll have. But yeah, like, because, and then you don't want to be seen as a victim. I've worked so hard to be strong and to make my own strength.
Yeah,
as if like I've
yeah, I've had so many times where I felt so vulnerable and weak and sad, and then us, like, I just remember thinking, like, one day, no, I'm going to change this. Like, I want to be one of those, like, women that I've seen on the, like on the covers of magazines, or, yeah, like, my friends. Like, yeah, like, to me, Steph's such an inspirational woman. She's been through so much, and she just always has the best advice for me, and, like, just always has a really clear, chill advice. You know, it's never emotionally charged. But yeah, and then I was like, I'm gonna be more like that.
So then I think it's a really important thing to talk about, especially for people in relationships that are like, oh no, it can't happen because they're my boyfriend.
Yeah That's the thing. It's like, it's almost like it gets brushed under the rug because it's your boyfriend.
Do you feel more empowered that you've been able to talk about it?
Yeah, it's like, still, I still get so anxious and nervous because I just don't ever want to be near that again.
Yeah Understandable. Well, thanks so much for sharing that with us.
I just thought the point I'm doing it is for anyone else in that situation. It's not okay and say something, maybe just talk to them and then they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, and then they can learn from it. It's not like you're gonna throw them in jail and stuff. It's just people make mistakes, is to learn from it. And
the worst they can do is react badly, but then at least they know.
And if you really love each other, you can talk about these things.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you, Florence, for sharing that as
Sorry, I didn't want to spit the stuff. Just like, stir it.
It's weird. We unite in our pain, though.
Exactly,
and in our experiences. It's it's some good waves.
Yeah. And what would be the best bad funny time? This guy, he like... As he was like, where do you want me to come? I was like, oh, my face. And then he did. But holy fuck, he must have not masturbated in like three years. No. It was like, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, here it is. I was just like, fucking stop it.
Oh, my God.
I was just there, like, and then I started to get angry. And I was just like, oh, and then, like, you know.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
Yeah, it's got to be that threesome. That just changed everything. Like, just meant having Steph in my life and just seeing how you can have a healthy relationship with sex. You don't have to be ashamed of yourself, and you can be free to try new things, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and like, and then you can wake up the next day and be like, that was just, you know, two or threesome, I'm gonna do a French exit, you know, like, but you know, like, it's just how it can, you can just have fun with someone that you really love, and you know. We're just the best tag team, But yeah, like, I've learned so much with her.
Yeah, so meeting her was what changed your sex life.
Absolutely, completely. And my other friends as well, like, they're a very good group of girls.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I guess it is when you meet those people that you can fully connect with, fully talk with. You're like, all these things that you felt a little bit insecure about, you can talk about them, and suddenly it opens up so many little like departments in your brain, and you can fully enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's what we all strive for, and we're always learning and experiencing new things. Sex is not a straight line.
It's great that you can learn these things from the people around you as well, especially when sex is a subject that people don't often talk about, or people think that people don't talk about anyway.
I think hopefully gone of those days.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Yeah, I'm sure it isn't like in some places.
Yeah. But I just feel like moving to London and meeting all these people, I found like a sex, but it's like sophisticated and cultured and elegant, and everything's like, yeah, designer lingerie. So it's just, you know, it's special and beautiful. And like, yeah, instead of like, it's always been this dirty thing, to know that it's been seen as, and that you're a pervert. Yeah, I mean, I am a pervert.
Into us,
but
from like the get-go.
And there's all the sex clubs as well in London. Like when you go to cities, the sex world kind of opens up to you.
Yeah,
100%. For fuck's sake.
In this section of our podcast, we get a sex question in from our listeners. This week's is, I tried having sex with my boyfriend a few days ago and it just wouldn't go in. What the fuck? Please help.
It just wouldn't go in. I mean, that's happened to us
so many times. Yeah. Oh my God. And it sounds like the classic case of a dry pussy.
Yeah, absolutely. And dry pussy doesn't necessarily mean that you're not turned on or in the moment. It could literally be a hormonal thing.
Definitely.
I mean, there's sometimes where I'm super horny and even I'm just completely dry.
It gets so frustrating in a way because you're like, how can I be dry when I want this dick in me so much?
Yeah, and then because you're frustrated and you both want it in, it makes it drier because you're not relaxing properly and so much harder to get it in. And then you try and force it in, and then it fucking kills.
Yeah, it's completely normal for this to happen. It happens to everybody. I mean, everybody.
It's just as common as a guy not being able to get, you know, as hard as wood as they'd like to.
Yeah, and there are loads of things that you can do as well. And first and foremost, lubricant. You can buy water-based lubes if you're using condoms, and oil-based lubes such as coconut oil work really great if you're not using condoms.
Yeah, don't use it with sex toys either because it does melt some of the silicone.
Yeah,
but lube is the one. It's the way forward.
Yeah. Oh my god, it makes, even when you are wet already, it makes sex so much better. Yeah, the wetter the better.
We both sleep next to lube. That is like, definitely. It is like bedside table must.
Yeah, and you can get so many different types now as well. You can get CBD lubes that really enhance your orgasms.
Or natural lubes, lubes that help thrush, lubes that help look after your sex toys. I don't know, I made that one up. But I need that lube. Someone make it, please.
Yeah, because you can use lube with sex toys as well.
Oh, yeah. I love using lube with sex toys. When I'm having a proper session, I'll lube myself up.
It feels so much better, doesn't it?
So good. And sometimes toys can be quite difficult to get in. You know, silicones are quite tough material. So if you're not ready and raring to go and you're not dripping, you do need that little extra helping hand.
Yeah, and sometimes if you don't have any lubes available, you can use saliva. It does dry up a little bit quickly, but it is there in case you need it.
Or just ordinary cooking oil, like olive oil is really good for lube.
Really?
I've
never done that before. Have you?
I don't know. I definitely use some kind of oil.
I've heard.
Maybe it was like vegetable oil.
I've heard of people using olive oil as lube. I mean, I just can't quite imagine myself doing that. I don't know. Coconut oil seems so normal, but olive oil not. Maybe I would.
Yeah.
I love olive oil to cook with.
Yeah. I mean, you can use olive oil for so many different things. I know we're going on to some kind of cooking program here. Like, you know, for your hair, for your ears, for your nails.
Same
all this
with
kind of
coconut
stuff.
Oil. So many different uses.
It's all natural.
But make sure you never use oil lubes with condoms because they will snap. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
In this section of our podcast, we tell our listeners sex stories. This week's is, it was my second date with this beautiful Swedish guy I had met. He was new to the area, so he asked me to show him all the best and secret places. I decided to take him to these private rock pools I knew about. We were swimming and heavily making out in the rock pools all afternoon. When we got out to warm up, he went down on me. Fuck, it was amazing. On this beautiful beach, the sun was beating down on us and this guy is just eating me out. It was so hot, but it gets better. After I come, he starts fingering me and I squirt everywhere, all over my mum's towel. It was like a dream. Afterwards, I go down on him and we repeat it all afternoon until the sun begins to set. It was seriously the perfect day.
Thank goodness he had a towel.
Imagine if you go, when you go down swimming and you don't have any, like people just decide to go skinny dipping and they don't have a towel with them and they have to just put their clothes back on, like when you're all damp. But that seriously sounds like the most romantic day ever.
That does sound lovely.
I wish I had had an experience like that.
Yeah.
I mean, still to come. Definitely still to come.
I was just thinking, you know, because squirting is water, and especially with the pool, you end up getting really like dry.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know how they tackled that. Maybe they weren't in the pool.
Yeah, maybe they were lying on the rocks by the side. Because actually, having sex in water is really hard.
So hard. Especially in a pool as well, with all that chlorine.
Yeah. Well, they were in rock pools, so it would have been salt water.
Although, apparently, seawater is really good for our fannies.
Really?
Apparently so, yeah.
I remember when we were in Jamaica at the Young Swingers week in this sex hotel.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this couple just like going at it in the sea for ages. Oh, and I was just like staring at them, like thinking, I don't know how you're doing that for so long in the water with this salty water going in and out of your pussy.
It's, man, I'd like to know the facts on if seawater is good for you or not.
Yeah.
Because there's the reason why it's salty is that it's all the bacteria in there. Like I don't know whether bad bacteria. Yeah, it's all these tiny little microbe insects running around. So, I mean, it must... I've always been told, and it's like folklore, that seawater's supposed to be good for your cuts and your grazes. Yeah. And
also, like, the vagina's pH balance messes up so easily with soaps
That's
and
true,
stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, would seawater do the same thing?
I wonder.
Because also seawater is good for, like, little scrapes and cuts and stuff,
yeah,
people say.
That's the thing, is it hearsay? Is it like old wives' tales?
Yeah.
Like, oh, go in the water with your cut, it'll be lovely.
Have you had any, like, really romantic public, like, outdoor sexy experiences?
No. If I have, then I can't remember them, no. I mean, the public stuff has all been... like at sex parties or in the cars and stuff. Nothing.
I love the idea of it, but I don't know how I would be feeling if it actually was happening. I'd probably be really aware that someone could walk over any second.
Yeah, I mean, I've fucked in like a tent, but it's not really the same thing.
Yeah, some people have a fetish as well for the fact that they can get discovered fucking.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm masturbating by myself and my boyfriend's in the other room, like, I'm thinking in my head, oh my God, he could come in any second and I'll just be climaxing. Oh my God, he's going to come in. And like, I can orgasm so much quicker when I'm thinking that.
That's so
interesting. I wonder if I actually would like situations like that, but I just don't know in real life.
Yeah, it's really hard. You're just going to have to test it out.
Yeah. So unfortunately, Emily, we have to fuck off. It has been such a pleasure having you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for sharing. It's been incredible.
It's been really fun. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Where can our wonderful listeners find you?
So Instagram, it's just Emily Malice, like Emily Alice, but with an M in between. Mm-hmm. And they can also find me at Filthy Cute London, Filthy Cute with LDN on the end.
Yeah.
And also at Femme Fatale. But that's appointment only, so don't turn up, please don't.
Please no.
Email first.
Yes.
And you need to check out the Instagram. She does amazing tattoos.
Thank you.
They're so cool.
And she looks sexy. I know you can't see her right now, but she looks good.
Yeah, definitely check her out.
Thank you so much for listening to our annoying voices.
And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And send in your sex stories and sex questions.
Yes. Share this as well if you think it's worthwhile sharing.
It definitely is. Yeah, it definitely is.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.